there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 31st episode of The Conversation, a Nordic film podcast. We're back, Tryggve and I, and we're more ready than ever, right?
So I'm
really excited for this episode because I've been sick all day and just like getting into it. I've been breathing fumes of chamomile tea and I'm just ready now. I decided to bring a beer this time, even though I was thinking of just drinking water today. So so let's start with our introduction segment of what kind of beer we're drinking.
I kind of coerced you there with the beer. You were just gonna drink tap water.
Yeah.
But,
it's not possible. And I did buy a beer for this occasion. So So do you want to start out?
Sure. I have my usual Hoegaarden, the Belgian wheat beer. And that's the reason for that is that me and Shep, we were just both of us going to surprise each other with going to the liquor store like a couple of weeks ago, something like that. So the same day we went to the liquor store, didn't tell each other, and came back with, I don't know, half a case of Hoegaarden. So now we have a full case of Hoegaarden. So, you know, expect more of that. Yeah. Well, also because it's my favorite beer and it's maybe the best beer in the world. And but, you know,
maybe the best beer in the world.
I just realized what I said, and that's a Danish thing, isn't it? Probably the best beer in the world.
Yeah, it's probably the best one. They don't want to take the credit for the best
one. No, they can't actually. They would get sued. But what about you, Rene? What are you drinking now?
Well, I'm actually drinking a beer from probably the best brewery in the world, Carlsberg. And like last time, I mean, maybe somebody doesn't know that advertisement campaign.
Probably,
you know?
The best brewery in the world, probably the best brewery in Copenhagen.
Maybe. And it's right down here. I mean, we have a whole, we're going to get a municipality called Carlsberg now.
Really?
Actually, yeah, because they're renovating and building a lot of big buildings up here next to the brewery.
Okay.
And they're going to get their own municipality and zip code.
Wow.
So that's something.
That's impressive.
So we're going to move there at some point and just say, well, I live in like
Carlsberg.
something wrote Carlsberg, Copenhagen. You know?
Yeah.
That's strange, yeah.
Probably,
but but I keep up the tradition of drinking Christmas beer. Because J-Day was last year. No, oh my God. Yeah, J-Day was last week. You know, J-Day, that's a day in Denmark where the Christmas beer is being released. I think it was last Friday, actually.
I did not know that.
And Christmas beer trucks, like this is from Tuborg, just they're driving around and handing out free beer.
Do we like Tuborg like we like Carlsberg?
I don't know.
I actually had a Tuborg Grön
Pilsner
the other day,
just like a normal.
It was pretty good. It's very good, I thought. Of course, I'm like simple folk in the beer, as you know.
I've always preferred Carlsberg, their green one. They kind of like you have the Tuborg and you have the Carlsberg. And if I get to choose, I choose the Carlsberg, but it's probably because of the design of the logo.
Are they both called Korn?
No, but they're kind of the same color. Tuborg, like you can kind of take one or the other, the same, you know.
Okay.
But right now I'm drinking one called Jakobsen, Golden Naked Christmas Ale.
Golden Naked Christmas Ale.
Yeah. It's fairly good.
Okay. I'll
say. It's a yeah. very dark beer. It has some... I don't know if I should describe the taste to you.
I don't think you should.
No.
This is a film podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good to introduce the beer, you know. But it's very different from yeah. From your Hoegaarden because
this I can is, see this is how a dark beer. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, we're ready to get into whatever we've been watching the past 2 weeks. Have you been watching anything else than The Party?
I only watched one other film. It's mm-hmm. embarrassing, but I have About been the watching. Same name? That film was coincidentally also called The Party. It was just yeah. complete coincidence because I was just watching TV last night when Shep was snoring on the couch beside mm-hmm. me. This is like 9 p.m. or something, and she was just, you know, she just finished for the day. Mm-hmm. And it was just on TV, and I just saw The Party the night before.
Yeah.
So, but apparently, this film, 1968 film by Blake Edwards, starring Peter Sellers, mm-hmm. is a cult phenomenon of some sorts.
It is.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I always catch a little bit of it every New Year's Eve because they screen it.
Is it?
On TV.
Okay.
Like at 2 o'clock at night.
Okay.
They screen it. And it's called Come and Wash My Elephant in Danish.
Of course it is. Why would you just go with a simple translation?
Exactly.
You know? Oh, my
I have
God.
No idea. Yeah. So,
but okay. I will say that I apparently this is some big thing, and mm-hmm. I did have some belly laughs, you know,
yeah.
Early on, not the beginning when he was just being weird, but like when he goes
Peter
to the
Sellers
goes
is
to the
great.
Party. Peter yeah. Sellers is great, yes, but I have a tiny, maybe it's just overly politically correct, but I have this problem with the mm-hmm. Basically blackface thing
yes.
he does. I don't see the reason for it. I don't see why he needed to do that, but
no.
There you go. It's a different time, different culture, I guess. Still, yeah. it
reminds
has some,
me a little
has,
bit of... Like Breakfast at Tiffany's, where that Japanese guy is living at the top floor.
Oh my God! And yeah. what is it with the Inspector Clouseau, the Pink Panther films?
Yeah,
with Kato, isn't that?
Yeah, also Kato. Yeah, it's really horrible.
It's a different time, I guess, but it's yeah. it. I am torn with deciding if mm-hmm. it's okay or not, but. Mm-hmm. Regarding this film, I had some laughs, but it's pretty good when he comes to the party and he's like getting into all sorts of trouble. He goes to try to find a bathroom and yeah. and all that stuff. But
it's just classic slapstick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's beyond farce. It's just ridiculous. The final 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So that was absolutely not funny at all.
No,
for me.
Okay.
So I was thinking, what do I rate this? How do I rate this? Mm-hmm. It's difficult. I gave it 2 out of 5. I don't know. It's yeah. You know.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
get
a
the
mixed
hype.
Bag, right? And it's a cult movie, and I understand. Why they would show it like New Year's Eve when everybody is drunk, then it's probably much more funny, you know,
I guess
to watch it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you say when he comes to the party, I don't think I've ever seen anything from before he comes to the party. At least I don't remember that part of the movie. Because well, whenever if we accidentally like turn it on like New Year's Eve, then he's already at the party.
He's an actor in Hollywood, and he's playing these bit part roles. And we in the beginning we see him fuck up a whole movie set and just mistake after mistake, and it's I didn't even crack a smile for that thing.
No.
But you know, it's
when was it in Peter Sellers' career?
It's 1968.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure about the timeline.
Bit late, yeah. Right?
Bit late, like, I guess.
He is a very big name there.
Yeah, he of course did the Pink Panther films with Blake Edwards.
Yeah.
I think this was the only film he did with him that was not Pink Panther.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a fish out of water kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Very well known phenomenon. Mm. But I don't want to spend time on it. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with people enjoying it and liking it, and you know.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, I don't really care. Sorry.
No. Right. Well, if you want the chance again, just tune into Danish Radio TV, you know, DR1.
Okay.
And you'll see it.
Okay. But before we, like, I have some TV stuff. But before we do that, did you see any films other than The Party?
I did not. No films. I tried to start some TV, though.
And Bruno, may I just say, that's weak. That's weak.
What?
No films.
Yeah. Well, I did watch The Party.
Yeah. But so I'm teasing.
And you know, as I told you before we started, my daughter has been sick. So we've been watching a lot of Teletubbies, and I've actually finished the whole season one of the new season of Teletubbies.
Okay.
So if you want an update on Tinky Winky, Dipsy, and Lala, and Po, then I could give it to you.
I don't know.
No.
Do you like this stuff compared to other children's TV?
I'm actually growing a bit more fond of it because I, like in the beginning, I thought it was this kind of brainwashed, like really bad TV for kids. Mm-hmm. But it just taps into exactly what kids like, you know, repetition, a lot of colors, and like these Teletubbies doing things that they would do. Like, I think they can reflect themselves in Teletubbies quite a lot because they are just big kids or like big small children, you know.
I always think of the actors playing the tubbies. And I just see them going on breaks and having a cigarette outside.
Yeah.
And take the head off.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's not landing with me. I have put it on a few times for Simone just to, because he seems to like it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, no.
I mean, Raskwa is just, you know, so excited about Tinky Winky and everybody.
Okay.
And is counting them whenever they come up, like, of their little hole. Then she's like, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's reason
English,
enough.
Actually.
Yeah.
You know, she's just very excited about it. And what I like about this show is that it's within this formula. So kids really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it might seem a little bit repetitive. When you watch it as a grown-up. But I understand the appeal for small kids. And I love that they have these segments of real footage of kids doing something funny or something that, like, they play around or something.
Exactly. I like that. I like that, too.
And that's why they're saying again once it's done. And then they show a little bit of it again. And Raskwa is just so excited about seeing the lives of other kids.
Kids are very interested in other kids.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So it's very, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I didn't want to spend too much time on Teletubbies. I do think it's fairly good for what it is, what it sets out to do. What did you watch?
I've been watching Mindhunter.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I have. I'm like halfway through episode 9 of 10, so I'm not going to like comment too much on it. But it's David Fincher. Mm-hmm. I think he's producing. And among others, Charlize Theron is producing.
Okay.
Fincher is directing episode 1, 2, 9, and 10. Yeah. So he's the guy. I don't know if he's producing, but certainly he's...
Or like executive stuff.
Probably. Yeah, puts his name on this. And it's very, very good.
Okay.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You advised me to try it out.
Yeah.
And I've been having a hard time trying to do it here because Aileen already saw a few episodes and was not really taken with it.
Yeah.
But I've been reading a lot of good stuff about it.
It's very a nice blend of documentary and, well, you could say docudrama, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more, it just takes his time with introducing the characters of the cops and, feds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very interesting, intelligent. And the characters, as in all good TV and films, are really well constructed. Really well. And we have actual serial killers coming on. The correct names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're dealing with actual people.
Okay.
And they cast the serial killers. They look very much like the real people.
So is it a true story? Or based on
one? I guess, yeah, it's based on a book. I've been trying not to to read too much about it because I want to like just watch it. I'm over that when I just need to research everything beforehand. Just, you know, I'm trying not to. Mm-hmm. But it's apparently based on a book someone wrote about the start of, I guess, serial killing profiling inside the FBI.
Yeah.
And it's their story, really. And also we have some, at the beginning of most episodes, we have some killer trying, kind of preparing to do something. So we have that coming.
Okay.
I haven't seen episode 10, but it's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And just good TV.
As you're engaged and
absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will try to convince Aileen to give it a chance. As I told you, I'm not that excited about David Fincher at the moment due to his past like few endeavors.
Okay.
I didn't like what was it called? Like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, for instance. But also the latest one, Girl Gone? Yeah?
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl?
I thought that was okay. It wasn't his best work, but I thought it was fairly good.
Yeah.
And you have to, I mean, he fell into the kind of Spike Lee trap there with the remake of I guess... Yeah. You know, you just don't do that. You just
don't do
just
it.
Don't do it.
Don't try your hand at Nordic noir.
Yeah, but the guy who made Fight Club and Seven is his best picture by far. I think it's one of my
Fight Club was it for me. I think
but
that's his legacy. You know, in the 90s he made Fight Club and Seven. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's lived up to that completely. I liked what he did with The Social Network. It was commendable. I mainly like the soundtrack to that thing because I love Trent Reznor.
It didn't leave me with anything, The Social Network.
No. No, me neither, and I haven't really thought of it since.
But imagine having everything you do compared to Seven and Fight Club.
Yeah, I know.
That's tricky to navigate that. But so
he also did the first and last episode of House of Cards. That was his name that was on that stuff.
Okay. First series or?
Yeah, the first series.
Yeah. That was okay. The first series was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I, a long time ago, lost interest in that. And I have huge respect for the guy.
Definitely. And also making those movies, you should have. You know, I've just been like, it's been kind of like dull affairs, the movies I've seen and like the series. Mindhunter has not been way up on my list, but now with your really good recommendation, I really should. Also, you let me know that The Wire was the best series ever made. And you let me know in a text message out of the blue.
Oh my God, yeah. Can I just explain that?
Mm-hmm.
I was just at work and I came across some video kind of reminder, like two minutes of I think it was only the first season.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched it and it just came all flooding back to me, the genius of it. And I just left you this message because I haven't watched it. I can read it actually. I can have it here.
Sure.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. Suffice it to say, you really made me know that I should really watch The Wire. So I have been thinking of starting that up, you know.
Can I just read this? It just came over me.
Yeah.
I'll just read it. It's short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. It's easy to let the mind wander as time passes, but this is still the best TV series in history. That is my humble opinion. I just watched this 2.40 minutes video and hit me like a train at full speed. So, I'm not going to forget. Realism, fantastic round characters, beautifully written and plotted, unbelievable acting. The Wire is the best thing ever on TV. My friend, this is my plea to you. Watch The Wire. At least watch this little video and get a small taste. That's me inspired.
Yes. And, I mean, how can you refuse that kind of plead?
Plea. It's a plea.
Yeah, so I am definitely going to watch it. We have HBO Nordic here, so we're just going to start it up one of the days.
Okay. You know?
But I know it's like four seasons. Yeah.
It's five.
Five seasons. So it's going to take a while, but
Just I enjoy the ride and try not to be too influenced by all the raving reviews.
Yeah, but you know, I've seen the reviews, but it's been such a long time since people have actually like passionately talked about it.
Mm.
Because it's been, you know, well, except for you, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see it. I will see if I can make it through the first couple of episodes. Because I did start it once and I fell asleep because I thought it was very boring.
Oh my God.
Sorry, that's on the record now, and I will redeem it later.
You must have had a tough night or something before. I can only conclude that's the reason. But one thing more on TV I can mention, actually, and we just started this up again. Me and Shep had this tradition when she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we got together, we really like... on Saturday nights, just eating something in front of the TV. And this is before Sumerle came, of course, because you can't really do that now.
No.
And we just watched Midsummer Murders, the British ITV TV series, which we just both love. I love it. Love it. And it's just whodunit kind of thing. And it's a dangerous place, Midsummer. People get killed there all the time. And this is like, I'm watching now series, season, I think, 18.
Oh my God.
And 18. Like the last two Saturday nights, we decided to, let's get him to bed early. Let's get him to sleep at 7. Let's just make this like the mission for today. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, let's do that. And just watch Midsummer Murders and eat in front of the TV. And we've done that for the past two Saturdays, and it's just been awesome. Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
And we love it so passionately. And actually, season 18 is really good. It's getting better quality-wise, and okay. everything is getting bigger and better. And we have some big names now. Helen Baxendale was on. She's episode 1, for instance.
Do I know her?
Yeah, she was in Cold Feet TV series, UK. And she was also in Friends as Emily.
Yeah, no.
No? See, you don't know Friends?
No, I never really watched Friends.
Okay, she was the British character that...
okay.
Yeah, everybody knows except you, like, I guess. She's a big name. I mean, she's a pretty big actress in the UK, I suppose. Yeah, okay. So, but it's good stuff, Rune. I can see you laughing.
And are they actually making it now? Is that like the 18th episode? No, season. That's
season
current?
18. And I'm glad to know that there's season 19 and season 20 has been announced in 6 episodes, which is, these are like 90 minutes plus. No, John Nettles retired in 2011, I think.
Yeah,
And Neil Dudgeon came on as Barnaby. Okay. And that was tricky because... You have this, like, it's like replacing Morse. You can't really do it.
No, you can't.
It's impossible. But they did it with Lewis, and it's okay, you know. Lewis is good, but he's no Morse. But here, John Nettles retired as Barnaby, and this is his main role, and he's loved all over the world because of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's going to be impossible. What are they going to do? It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Then comes Neil Dudgeon, and he's introduced as a cousin of the old Barnaby, and he comes and takes over.
I mean, who would have thought that they could do it? They could pull it off.
And he is so good. He is at least as good as John Nettles as Barnaby.
Okay.
Just wanted to get that in. I have come out of the Midsummer Murderer closet, and I am a huge, huge, huge fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. Thank you. I might watch it at some point. I used to watch the Midsummer Murders with my grandmother.
Yeah, it's good for grandmas.
Yeah.
It's like slow pace, I am.
And everybody can guess at who did it.
Exactly.
And then you realize that it was, I don't know, the janitor or something.
Yes. And
was jealous.
Annoyingly. This is exactly the reason why Shep likes it so much. She guessed again the right person last night.
Man. Are you keeping scores?
Not really. I have no chance against her. She never knows why. Mm. She never gets the plot. But she kind of always points to the right killer. It's eerie.
Yeah. That's kind of like playing Cluedo with Elin. She is amazing. with that thing. And she just sits there with her little notebook and she's like, oh, interesting. And then like two rounds before anybody else has a clue. And then she's okay. just like, he did it in the bathroom with the wrench.
I see.
I have no
she
idea.
Has watched a lot of crime dramas on TV, yeah. I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And apparently Clue is a very faithful representation of crime.
I have never played that. I should play that. We should play that.
Maybe we should. I think we have it in Iceland, actually. But I never want to play it because Henning always wins.
Let's make it a mission of beating her. What do you think?
Yeah. Let's try it.
Okay.
All right. So... I have a few other things, but I think we've been running a little bit long. So should we get into the party?
Let's do that.
Okay. Here's the party.
Listen, Mum, I've got guests over. Can I call you a bit later? Bill! Bill! April!
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful news.
Ridiculously handsome. Too bad he's a wanker.
We're going to be a family.
Oh, wow.
That was a clip from The Party, a new film by English director Sally Potter. It's about, surprisingly, a party. I would say soiree thrown by the main character. Well, maybe.
Well, one of the characters.
Yeah, the holder of the party. Mm-hmm. Who is hostess? Just getting, yes, the hostess and her husband, Bill, mm-hmm. who are celebrating a promotion in the political arena in the UK, shadow mm-hmm. minister of health, mm-hmm. health minister. So that's a very loosely.
That's basically the setup.
That's the setup, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rune. Your first impression. I mean, it's very short. What did you think about that?
I loved the length, actually. I thought this whole movie was actually very refreshing. Just starting off, and it was black and white. That's something that you don't see every day here. Mm. And everything was so tight. And once I realized it was only... What is it, like 1 hour, 20 minutes, something like that?
It's 71 minutes.
Yeah, okay, so...
It's 1 hour, 11 minutes.
Less, even yes. less. Yeah. Yes. And it felt like that. And, you know, we were talking about this the last time with the Meyerowitz stories.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, you could say there's some similarities because it's very fast pace, dialogue, and all that kind of stuff. Everything is so like interconnected and everything. And that one was just way too long. This one kept it short. Everything was nice and tight. And I really enjoyed the length, actually. I was surprised by it, but I enjoyed that they just said, okay, enough is enough. This is what you get. What about you?
Yeah, it is refreshing, isn't it? To just make a picture that is as long as it should be, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I do think that the length has something to do with the, well, what this is, which is basically a play. It's mm-hmm. been called drawing room drama or something like that.
Yeah.
But it just happens in real time, and it's... like I say, basically a play.
It is so, very much a play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a drawback. It's just what it is. And I think maybe the length of the film is somehow related to that. They just didn't want to. She didn't want to. Like it could have been a drawback to go over like 90 minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it's really tight the whole way through.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be a drawback to pull it out further because the beauty of it is that you get the initial characters, and then they transform just a little bit, but I mean they all stay in their characters and they fit together in this like kind of like a mesh, like a clockwork, like all the different characters. Mm. And if you prolong that a little bit longer, you might start seeing through it, or like it might start to feel a bit more constructed than it needed to be.
I guess.
Yeah. I did actually feel at one point at this party, they all, like all guests gather up in the living room, and then they start to just like ping pong, like bouncing off all each other, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody has a witty or smart remark about like the other person's piece of dialogue or like whatever they were saying. Mm. And I started to feel this farcical element of the whole like situation. And it felt very much like a play, like this like main event, like everybody comes into the stage and you have that thing going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And you know, that didn't work as well for me. I liked more when you focused on certain characters, because then it became very like constructed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and felt very much like a play. But then they broke up again after that, and it, like everything fitted together. I
they didn't take it too far with the like
no,
you say.
No, I mean, but you could say that maybe the storylines were like well, it was a little bit far-fetched what happened, you know.
I guess.
I think that's again part of this farce genre, you know, where everything is a little bit exaggerated, a little bit unbelievable, but
yeah.
it serves the purpose of being well fun to watch, and it like keeps on unfolding.
Well, it's a satire, really.
Yeah.
And that's it's real actor's piece, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. just like going on with the your remark about being tight, there's never a dull moment, really, is there? And
no, I wouldn't say so.
The dialogue is really, really good and funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's actually some laugh out loud moments, and there's actually also some poignant, like opinions coming through once in a while, where you're, well, I mean, you're. It's satirical, you know, mm-hmm. like it's actually hard hitting dialogue sometimes.
Yeah, you talked about farce. I actually wrote down a sentence to describe it. Just one sentence, and I wrote a very intelligent farce.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a traditional farce, but a very, very intelligent. It's very intelligent, isn't it? Because I think all these characters are like, these are people that are successful people. We have professors and politicians and bankers with there's money everywhere, and mm-hmm. these people have comfortable lives, I guess I could say.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're successful, and you can you would, if you met like say Bill, Timothy Spall's mm-hmm. character.
Yeah.
Like he was saying, he was describing his life view, I guess. You would say, yeah. Yeah, that's I respect this man hugely, and I guess you can say, without knowing the characters, you can see and meet every one of them and say, wow, that's I like this person. She's done well, but then the director just makes fun of them, all
yeah.
of them. And they're
yeah.
so incredibly flawed, all of them,
mm-hmm.
and it's so much fun. Especially, she's making fun of this like rational hero, Bill.
Yeah,
and he's like this—I don't know what to call it. He's—I don't know—he's cheating on his wife, and It's just all, and he's doubting everything now that he is in trouble. Mm-hmm. He's doubting his whole existence and his life view.
Yeah.
And that's not that's easy to
great
do.
Stuff.
No, it's not easy to do because you have these intelligent people, like I say, and you just really make fun of them.
But the thing that struck me was, like, you have this person in trouble, like Timothy Spall, her husband, and he's able to articulate many of his worries, you know, in a very sophisticated manner, in a way, you know. And then you have that healer, new age guy in Bruno Ganz. You know, like questioning and leading him on. And I mean, it's such a beautiful symbiosis, you know, between the rationale and the like new age, like floaty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and having his wife being the like newly announced health minister.
Yeah.
Just like, it's the topping of the cake, you know, and it puts everything into this warped perspective, and it's great.
Also, that I think she's supposed to be labor. I mean, yeah. It's fairly obvious to me. I think. I don't know. I'm not English, but I do follow their politics a little bit.
Yeah,
and she was very she was very annoyed with him. You know, oh, did you go private? Did you go private to Harley Street? That was a little bit annoyed with him, even though he was, you know.
Yeah, needing to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, again, like personal life and politics and like personal life. What you do in private and what your ideals are. And there was a lot of that going on in this movie,
mm-hmm.
with the ideals and private life. Yeah.
Like I said, it's a real actor's piece. And all of them, in my opinion, do a really good job,
mm-hmm.
creating. They don't have much time, really. I mean, it's 71 minutes. Every one of them comes out as well-constructed, even though all of them have like these huge flaws.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like Timothy Spall, his lines could probably just be on one page. You know, like most of his lines are just like, repeating. Well, basically like Ducky.
He's like the Ducky there for a long period.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I absolutely love Timothy Spall. I love his character and like his persona. And it's so strange seeing him as this old guy now. Like, his voice has become so boomy and just so raspy and, like, just has that tired, lethargic face.
Yeah, and he's lost the weight, which accentuates that.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. There's not a weak spot in the cast, I think. The casting of Bruno Ganz...
Yeah,
as the new age guy, he's just genius. Yeah. Okay, we need a new age guy. Let's take Hitler. Let's take Hitler for that,
and let's make some Nazi references while we're at it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's good, and he's just such a pro.
Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of an Icelandic tie to Bruno Ganz. Because he's a friend of Fredrik Thor.
Yeah.
And he is playing an angel in Bernaturuna, The Children of Nature.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
No. So
I saw it. I didn't connect it. I saw that a while ago. Well, a long time ago, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in it, Bruno.
Wow.
So there's a bit of tie in there.
Yeah, I can actually make a Danish tie as well.
Okay.
To this picture. Editor is Andreas Reffen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Father of none other than NWR, Nicholas Winding Reffen.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean...
none other than.
Yeah. I mean, I have actually got some notes here. Why, saying that I actually liked the editing.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was fast, and I have actually said fast and clever editing.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, one of the points, you know, there's a gun introduced in the very first scene of mm-hmm. the movie. Mm-hmm. And a little bit later, you realize where that gun comes from. And at one point, the gun tries to get its way down into a trash bin.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the women from the party comes out into the yard where this trash bin is.
Yeah.
And she is not quite, she doesn't quite know what she saw, if she saw something or not. And I felt like in the editing there, you actually also, as the spectator, like the audience, didn't really know what was seen or not. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah. I actually, that's the one time where I kind of noticed that. I mean, maybe sometimes editing is something you don't notice, mm-hmm. especially if it's very good and the movie is good. But that's a very good point. I didn't notice it otherwise.
No, but it's actually a point later, like what she actually saw, and you're also just you don't know.
We don't know. No,
you basically just think like what did she see? So I really like that. Also, like on that point, around the cinematography, I really love the beginning of this movie, like getting into all the characters, because it seemed like whenever a new character was introduced, then there was a new kind of cinematic style. I don't know if you noticed it, but like Timothy Spall, like Bill, her husband, mm-hmm. all the pictures of him was very, very close. It was like these long lenses that make the background diffuse a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know that he's preoccupied with something inside himself.
Yeah.
Where she, the wife, is in this like kind of full frame shots all the time, being much more inclusive of, mm-hmm. of everyone around her somehow, or like trying to be at least.
So you think every character has its own cinematography style?
A little bit. You know, for instance, when Cillian Murphy comes in, mm-hmm. Being kind of high as a kite, as you would say, you get all of those high kind of like tilted shots of him. And I really liked whenever he was in focus, the camera was also kind of jolting, and it was like restless. It was always moving. Mm-hmm. So it also portrayed his mental state.
I think we can say safely here that you are the expert of the two of us about cinematography. I wrote down that I loved it.
Okay.
Part of the style, stylistically, this is really good mm-hmm. for me. We have the music, all kinds of good stuff.
Beautiful that was stuff. Amazing.
Yeah.
I loved the when they put attention to it, saying like, "Hey, Bill is doing his disc jockey kind of thing in there," but he was playing such good music. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. I didn't know any of it. But
I'm always listening to the first. No, not always listening to it, but like, I'm a man, spelled M. Well, that was the first one.
Okay.
The first song, the opening song, and it's just like, I'm in for this ride.
I cannot be held accountable for that, actually, because I was with Shep, and she was at a work party, but she wanted to see it with me. Mm-hmm. So she was a little tipsy when we got to the cinema.
Okay.
And she was in my ear a lot. I was like, I had to like shush her, like, okay, enough. Enough now.
Enjoy the party.
Yeah, she will enjoy listening to this, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I didn't actually notice that. But there was a lot of good music, even if I didn't know the performers. But it was all part of a certain style for me, containing music and the cinematography, of course, the black and white. Mm-hmm. I have this picture in my mind when Cillian Murphy is changing the records there towards the end. Yeah. And the camera is placed just very close behind the record player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was a maybe you remember. Was it a long lens? Because it was really, I don't know. I can't really describe it. Do you remember the scene?
Yeah, I remember the scene. Like he's kind of like flustered.
He's flustered and he's really close to the camera. Mm-hmm. But not as a close-up. It was more like...
I think it's a very wide lens you're talking about.
Okay.
Because you get a lot of the stuff around him.
Yeah.
But he's right there in like front and center. But you mm-hmm. get the background. If you have a long lens, then usually things behind...
And you go closer, you get soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get soft around people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning about lenses still, and it's going to take years for me to really get that, grasp that. But I enjoyed many shots in mm-hmm. the film, and it's, like I say, it just contributed to the whole style and feel of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made it less of a play, which it really is.
Yeah, yeah. It used some of those, like, filmic... ways of telling stories like with the camera, you know,
mm-hmm.
having the camera being an active participant. It seemed like it was like kind of like a character mm-hmm. with all of the characters. So that changed it a little bit. Also what you said, like with Cillian Murphy, putting on records at one point, actually using music in order to make a point. Like, because it was so great in the beginning, and then when another person takes over, it just became a completely different thing. And it was, this was diegetic music all the way through, you know, like music coming from the record player. And it made it made you interpret different situations differently.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was diegetic. And that was great. I thought it was a great touch. Really.
It's almost stylistically perfect for me.
Yeah.
Can't do any better. And we keep referring to Janet as her. Let me just say that's Kristen Scott Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
She's no average actress.
No, not at all.
Just the cast, it's seven people. Let me just
that's her,
Kristen
that's
Scott Thomas.
Yeah, and Patricia Clarkson.
Yes.
Famously known as Claire from Frasier.
Exactly. I'm going to get back to that.
Yeah.
Cherry Jones, Emily Mortimer, Bruno Ganz, Timothy Spall, and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
About Patricia Clarkson, many critics are like raving about her and her style kind of stealing the show. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? I think it's like a fun thing to ask people, which of the actors did the best work, was most memorable? Who is that for you? Who is that for you here?
You know, I really like Bruno.
I really like Bruno as well.
Because, you know, Bruno, even though he was like a new age, like healer type, he reminded me a little bit of myself.
You really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not with the really floaty stuff, but just from the beginning when you got into the living room and he chose not to sit in the couch. He chose to sit on the floor in front
of
the guy that he was like trying to address. And because Timothy Spall was just like staring straight ahead, obviously you want to sit in front of him. And like, I think... I would probably have done the same in a way, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got a little bit of you know, sympathy for that guy. But you know, I liked the whole cast. I'm obviously biased because Timothy Spall is a favorite of mine. But he didn't get, like, he didn't have a lot to do here.
In terms of dialogue, maybe.
Yeah, but you know, he had to basically sit there and look.
Yeah, know? I mean that's tricky, Rune.
It can be tricky. Yeah, he does it well. Kind of like well. Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes. So. Let's not go into Twin Peaks in this one.
No, let's not. Let's not. But stay with the farce.
I think for me, and in this ensemble cast of great actors, it's Cillian Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
He did so well.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably younger than Emily Mortimer, I think.
Yeah.
I've been refusing to watch this show, Peaky Blinders, with Shep.
Yeah, she's been
doesn't
trying to make us see it.
Yeah. Somehow doesn't interest me.
No.
But I don't know, I might now.
He is a great actor.
He does really, really well. And this is no average cast.
But you know, like, just being the devil's advocate a little bit, the camera did its most work, you know, when shooting Cillian.
With Cillian, yeah.
So maybe that has a little bit to do with it, because the other ones were kind of straight on, you know. But whenever he was there, it was much more, you know, alive.
I mean, Patricia Clarkson got the most sinister lines, you know.
Yeah.
Fun lines to do. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting choice of actress for that role, yeah. I think.
Yeah, but she also kind of was the person who was least involved with everything and was just like, she was almost the straight guy. Think?
Maybe.
Like a little bit like just, yeah, just a friend.
I would have thought she would have played Janet, and Kristen Scott Thomas would have wanted this one. Because she has done there. Some snide remarks in films, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. been that type. But yeah. She does well. And Clarkson, I just watched her in Frasier like the night before I watched The Party.
Of course.
She's this incredibly nice person. You know, it's a bit out of character for her, don't you think?
Yeah, it might be. I always loved her in Frasier. And she is just a very nice lady. In Frasier,
I think I don't know how she is in real life, but I'm guessing she's a really nice lady. Yes,
yeah,
I would say that.
Yeah. So what finally, she gets an opportunity to be a little bit snide in her.
Yeah, she takes it. I would say she takes it,
and it works. It really works.
Oh yeah, you know,
I love how she's always trying to break up with Bruno.
Yeah, but you know right away she's not going to be successful on that front.
No. No,
and,
you know,
and she just... he comes in as this wacky new age type, and he leaves as maybe the most sane person there.
Mhm.
Probably. Yeah.
But does anybody leave really?
I don't know. I mean the characters are stripped down to you know the bones and
mm-hmm.
and I just have to say that it's really all really well done in terms of the characters. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to met Marianne because that's an interesting character right there. She can't have much time for work.
Yeah.
She is busy.
Yeah.
In the private life.
Busy. Very busy. And maybe a little bit too busy.
Yeah.
That's actually one of my points here is that like the reason why this is not just a perfect movie for me mm-hmm. is that I was not quite buying the end. Like, everything became a little bit too convoluted with how everyone is tied into each other.
Yeah, it was too neat.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, okay. Like, you knew it was coming somehow. Mm-hmm. But it was just like the action that she would take and, you know, everything. It just seemed a little bit too neat in this story. But of course, again, that's the farcical element. Like, everything is tied together and you have that contained story. Yeah.
I think that was the biggest drawback for me. The
ending.
Neat bow there in the end.
Yeah. I also felt like it really skipped ahead. Like, it seemed like you had the whole story unfolding and then all of a sudden it ended. Like, maybe a little bit too abruptly. And especially her reaction to the end, you know, like Kristen Scott Thomas's reaction to the end. It was like, it didn't quite fit yet. You know, there should have been something else going on here before would have been the conclusion. It seemed like it was like a far-fetched conclusion to the whole thing.
You
know what I mean?
We're really
trying to dance around the actual plot here.
That's the biggest drawback for me as well. I didn't like the ending that much. I appreciated that it kind of comes full circle from the beginning scene.
Yeah, but you expected that also.
I understand that. Understand that. And maybe Sally Potter is just thinking, okay, this is a nice little picture and I want to draw a nice little circle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow...
Do you actually think it would have been better not having that introduction?
Somehow, I'm thinking maybe... probably. I mean, it ties it together, but...
It does, and you're... Like, we can probably spoil that the beginning of the movie is... Kristen Scott Thomas pointing a gun at someone at the door. And it kind of makes you think about that gun all the time. And once you realize where the gun comes in, you're always trying to put the pieces together. But now that I look back on it, maybe it would be more interesting not knowing where that gun would go.
Then it's a totally different movie, actually, if you take those two scenes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's one way to end it. It's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not a filmmaker. I don't know. It bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It took away from the experience a little bit. It was too neat.
There's a little bit of a forced bookends. In a way.
I guess. That's a very nice term. Nice way of putting it. But that's why it's only 4 stars for me out of 5. But
but everything in between those two bookends were really great.
Yeah, I agree.
Was really great. Yeah.
It's a very good movie. I recommend it to everyone.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was good. Was that around? Like, was that about it
for
the party?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Just highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it here. 4 stars out of 5 on Letterboxd. You can check it out over there.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So we're totally on par here.
Yes. Well, that happens more often than not. I would say.
Yeah. And now we just need to look into more of Sally Potter stuff. I am, for one, trying to show the tango lesson for Aileen, because Aileen has started tangoing.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Apparently, it shouldn't be that good, because Sally Potter is actually in it herself, tangoing, and she's not a good tangoist.
Tangoist, okay.
I don't know. someone who dances tango.
Yes.
But you know, it just seemed to make sense now that my girlfriend is dancing tango.
Yeah. Why are you not dancing tango with her?
Because I am taking care of Fresca.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where we're trying to do our own things once in a while. And she has chosen to do tango with our good friend Greta. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
There you go.
Also, I'm interested. It kind of made me feel check out Sally Potter. And there was this film I wanted to see called Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
With Tilda Swinton. Swinton.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get her out of my mind now, Tilda Swinton.
No.
she's just there. So I'm going to watch that at some point.
Mm-hmm. And apparently she did The Man Who Cried also with
Johnny Depp. That,
yeah.
No.
Before he got really overexposed.
Okay.
And you see, like, it's Johnny Depp, it's Kate Blanchett, it's John Turturro. It is Harry Dean Stanton.
Okay.
And it's Christina Ricci. Yeah, Christina Ricci. But, you know.
I like Christina Ricci.
She's done okay. Good movies. Yeah. So, but I haven't heard good things about The Man Who Cried.
Just the title, Rune, just puts me off it.
Yeah, I know. But we might get into more Sally Potter stuff.
Yeah.
Down the line.
Probably.
Like here on Letterboxd, I can see I have watched one out of her 15 movies.
So, good.
So I'm not an expert.
Okay. So next time, Rune, what are we having?
We are finally getting into The Square.
The Square is coming out
Ruben
in Denmark.
Östlund. Ruben
yes.
Östlund.
The Swedish film, The Square, by Ruben Östlund, who did Force Majeure.
Yeah.
Is finally coming out a few months too late.
There's some ties to Denmark also. I think it's like partly produced by Danish people or something. There's some Danish speaking in it.
Nice.
I saw that in the trailer.
Yes.
So, and I saw the trailer when I watched The Party. So I'm all excited. I'm going to watch it. And finally, we can discuss it here on the show.
I might rewatch it as well. So that's next time.
That is next time.
Yeah. So
I'm excited.
I think we should just do the outro now.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can make it through this one without doing too many takes. As always, you can find us on Facebook. Just do a search for us, The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast over there. And like our page and leave comments over there. We'll be happy to hear from you. We also have our website, theconversationpodcast.net. You can comment over there. And we have SoundCloud, where you can follow us and be notified whenever we release a new episode.
Recently, we have started to be active on Twitter. It's at Pod Conversation over there. So please just check us out and follow us. Also, we're on Letterboxd, me and Rune, both personally and the podcast as well. So check us out over there. You can see a list from this episode of the films and TV shows talked about.
Exactly.
It's pretty much it, isn't it?
Well, almost. You can also find us on every podcast aggregator you can think of. Well, I mean, at least iTunes and some other podcast aggregators.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, recommend us to you know, your friends.
Yes,
if you like
us,
that is.
To get more people on and get more comments, and as we've been hinting at before, we have some future plans that we're discussing here.
Life gets in the way, as always. That should have been done by now, but you know how it is.
It's coming. It's coming. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
So that's it for today, and thank you for listening, and we'll hope to see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.